this break.
The Buffalo Bills and the Buffalo Sabres Foundations will be hosting Give 716 Day, raising as much money for local charities as possible, beginning at 7:16 p.m. tomorrow evening. That is Tuesday, July 15th, and running to 11:59 p.m. midnight, Wednesday, July 16th. Over 500 charities are participating. All fans are encouraged to make a donation of any amount to their favorite charities. Go to give716.org between 7:16 p.m. Tuesday, July 15th, and midnight on Wednesday, July 16th. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We're talking a lot about college football today, SEC Media Days today, and we just kind of got in the running of talking NIL. We took Allie's call there in the last segment. And
we promised an answer.
And, you know, I think it has been a perfect marriage between Josh Allen coming from Laramie, Wyoming, and even small town Fireball, California, to Buffalo. Obviously, the small market, you know, that's sort of ingrained in all of us, and that kind of pride that it brings. But that's where the NIL era can be scary as hell. You're talking about Laramie, Wyoming, a UB program that has at times really struggled to gain fan interest, especially in an NFL market. This is a scary era where you're wondering, is every good player we have going to leave? Allie brings up Josh Allen. NIL wasn't a problem in 2018. If it was, does he jump to one of the Pac-12 big boys, Oregon, USC, something like that? And then, you know, for us personally, UB fans, what if it was around when Khalil Mack was getting drafted?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have Mack for that final year where you have some iconic moments? I mean, they get blown up by Ohio State, but my goodness, the Khalil Mack game in Columbus is absurd.
Yeah, Khalil Mack starts out on fire against Ohio State.
And even, too, you could look back at the Lance Leipold era for UB. You know, does Tyree Jackson stay? And some of these, you know, incredible running backs that the Bulls have had over the last 25 years, do they stay? You know, it's a lot of questions. I think Allie brought up a good point, too. Josh's temperament probably leads him to stay.
Temperament and personality, and it's probably an easy sell. Because also, the thing about Josh Allen is he's a JUCO transfer.
Yeah.
So you're already showing more belief in him than any other school did, and you are deciding probably to stay there, even with NIL there, because he's already not a prototypical prospect.
Mm-hmm.
He is not a high school recruit. He is now a JUCO transfer already. Does that allow for, you know, a little bit of the leniency of, he's already transferred once, why would he not do it again? Yes, but this is the challenge of a school like Wyoming in a similar bed that UB is in.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, you have to find the perfect balance between retention and embracing the chaos of the transfer portal. There are going to be players that are looking for a starting role. They come from a bigger school. They're being overlooked. They want the opportunity. If I'm Wyoming, or if I'm UB, I can offer that to somebody. I have a problem at right guard, and you are not being looked at as a starter by Wisconsin, who recruited you. And they're Wisconsin. O-line is their thing.
Right, Big Ten O-lines, oh yeah.
I can get you back in being a starter at the Big Ten if you come play for me for a year. And what do I get in return? I get a 4-star right guard.
You know the way I look at it too, because you mentioned it, like you get a 4-star right guard. I look at it as I get a pretty good used car.
That's exactly what this is.
It's not beat up, but it's pretty good. I'm giving it to my 16-year-old kid. It's new, their first car.
It's new to
and
me.
It could run like the wind. It could be perfect. But it is, in fact, a depreciated asset. We all know the old saying, which is the moment a car leaves the lot, it's worth less.
But
that's the same thing. You get a 4-star 17, 18-year-old to commit to Wisconsin.
If I get a 4-star recruit mm-hmm. to play here for a year, and then he bounces back over to the Big Ten somewhere else
mm-hmm.
because he gets tape, it is a win-win. Why is it such positive tape? If he's that good of a player, why is it beneficial to me? That big tape happened here, baby.
Mm-hmm.
That tape happened in a Wyoming. It happened in a UB. where I get a guy who was looked at as potentially a starter in a Big Ten school, and he takes a chance on here, puts together good tape, but that tape is donned with our logo.
Mm-hmm.
That's our field. That's our program.
And you can use – and so on that point, you can use your own players as well as big recruiting tools. Allie brings up the idea of, does Josh Allen leave in the NIL? That is absolutely a potential that he's maybe told by NFL scouts, because that's ultimately a big reason why he stays at Wyoming a second year, doesn't declare for the draft, is work on some things. He talked to Carson Wentz, and
yep,
he stays. They could have also easily have told him, hey, we know blank coach is looking at you. You should really go over there. He's really good at developing talent. Steve Sarkisian at Texas is kind of like the guy many people talk about as developing quarterback talent at Texas. That's why Arch Manning and the Mannings really were comfortable going to Texas. Also, though, let's say he stays. We all know, having remembered that draft process and maybe almost vividly the pro day of Josh Allen looking at his receivers going, is this what he's been throwing to all year? Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. Now Wyoming also could have the thing of, we have an NFL quarterback. We just need one or two receivers to jump here. Nothing crazy, but one or two guys to get here, maybe another middle linebacker to really round out the roster, and we can go to a Rose Bowl. That was Allen's big thing going back his junior year, winning the Mountain West and potentially going to a Rose Bowl. You can use it both ways. You can use talent that you keep, that you retain, and coaches have talked about this, that maybe the most important thing is actually retaining talent, to also recruit more talent.
But if I'm, for example, I'm a Fran Brown, and I'm like, hey,
Syracuse,
I can offer you the ACC, an automatic playoff qualifying bid if we win the conference,
mm-hmm,
and you'll have better talent to throw to here.
Yep. Or you're just going to play a better system that's going to show off your talents.
Yeah.
Kyle McCord.
Exactly. You can look at this in both ways. It is a fascinating thing, and it is the struggle that you're going to see within UB here and schools like a Wyoming forever now. This is your future. If you are a fan of a UB or a Wyoming or another small school or even a lower tier program in a major conference like a Wake Forest, a Purdue.
I even look at, Texas this year, Matthew Golden popped off for them. Golden was at Houston. Houston's not a small program.
No.
But they weren't good, and so he left to go to Texas and to put better tape onto his resume going into a draft. He was a non-factor in the 2025 draft class until about midway through last season at Texas. And he still would have probably been like kind of a non-factor, maybe a little bit like a Tank Dell, where maybe his talent pops, he's maybe a fourth, fifth round pick, and he's kind of that sneaky guy that you get. But maybe not. I also look at a guy, Caden, name blanking on me, played at Liberty, he's now at Colorado. He's likely going to be their starter at Colorado. He left Liberty because Liberty wasn't throwing the ball particularly well. He had a great junior season or sophomore season, had a bad junior season. He's going to Colorado where Shedeur Sanders threw the ball over the yard. And so that's going to be a thing too. You're going to have to recruit guys that work for you. But I do look at places like Wyoming and UB, and UB in particular this year, having 9 wins last year, they retain a ton of their defense. Red Murdoch was the Robin to Shane Dolak's Batman, and yet he's retained. They bring a lot of their talent back. And even the quarterback they got started games at UConn. It's not the Big Ten, but he's coming over from the American Conference. It is arguably a better conference than the MAC, I think, inarguably.
Right.
And he also was a backup at Kansas State. He's gotten a lot of experience. You can get experience by sitting on the bench and then playing 1-2 years of college football. There's ways you can attack it. It is not all going to be on the defensive. It's not always going to be that way. It can be that way, and I've mentioned it too when I talk about Pete Lembo and UB. In this era of college football, you will find out much faster if your coach has got it or not. Yes. There is not going to be, well, we've got to wait 3-4 years to see his first recruiting class develop. No. The first recruiting class is that transfer class they bring in when they get hired.
And you know what's kind of fascinating, and I'd imagine there will be more of this wisdom being parted from an unlikely source.
Mm-hmm.
JUCO coaches.
Yep.
Junior college coaches have a 2-year window to fit their players into their schemes. It is very much a quick transition type thing. So the top tier junior colleges when it comes to football are going to be people that you'd want to get wisdom from if you are a mid-major or a low-end Power 5 team, like a Vanderbilt, Purdue, Wake Forest, et cetera, et cetera. And you need their wisdom on how to, A, have schemes that will be easy to learn for players, but B, be effective enough that you will get promising tape and try to have a modicum of success. Knowing that you're probably going to lose a talented player or two because of the success you have, but how do you replace it? When do you know to retain? When do you know to let them go and go after the replacement in an unlikely source or recruiting heavy in that position instead?
Yeah.
It's a fine balancing act that you're going to have to go through. And I think when it deals with transfer portals, JUCO coaches are going to have a wisdom that needs to be consulted.
Yeah, we talked a lot about this with college basketball. Also, funny enough, the NIL conversation, college mid-majors going after more D2 talent because that market is flush with really D1 players that just haven't gotten the look yet. You're seeing that now with college football. It might be the JUCO route. It also might
be FCS schools.
FCS schools, I think, absolutely. Or it might be, honestly, embrace the fact that you might be the school that gets you to the big school.
And if you can embrace
You won't have the guys that stay 3-4 years, but you might have, like, you know, Allie brings up, Allen was, you know, cemented in the community. Cam Newton was, too, for Auburn. He was only there for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Embrace being the school that gets you to the big school because it could lead to a lot of success. You just may not have guys that you remember playing for you for 3-4 years. And that's not always a bad thing. College football and college basketball, they're only there for 4 years, maybe 5-6 because of, you know, COVID and then red shirts. They're not there forever. It's not the pros. So maybe embrace that a little bit into only getting a few guys here and there because they want play time. They need play time now. Hey, we're going to get you to the Wisconsins, the Alabamas, all that stuff.
And more in particular, the 1AA page on this.
Mm-hmm.
If you can combine a cheeky NCAA tournament run.
Oh, yeah.
With getting a couple players transferred out to FBS schools. You suddenly become a powerhouse within your league, within your division of football. And that's another thing that we will not know much about, but that's another story for that level of college football.
Yeah. It's not perfect. I still want there to be some, you know, safety bars so that the big teams can't, like, just literally buy everybody. I think we'll get there, though, because you will have some of the bigger schools that are like, hey, we also got to pay for basketball and stuff like that. We can't keep doing this. The boosters are, you know, hemorrhaging money. But we'll see how it ultimately plays out. The big boys have always played bigger than everybody else. It's been true forever. But I think there is a window where some mid-majors can really have some fun in this era. 803-0550, the number 2 call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, here until 12 o'clock. This is WGR.